We remember the story of Job in the Bible, how the Lord afflicted him so deeply. The death of his 10 children, the loss of all his possessions, and pain surging throughout all of his body. The whole book of Job from that point on revolves around one question: why? Why did God bring such pain? His friends gather around him and they begin to question God's wisdom, the wisdom of God in bringing so much evil into a man's life. And after all of their discussions, God himself arises to give Job an answer in chapter 38. It is very striking that God's response to Job is to appeal to the creation surrounding us. He calls Job and our attention to his power and wisdom in the creation. Basically, in chapter 38 and on, he says to Job and to us, "You do not know very much. You must humble yourself." Chapter 38, verses 3 and 4, we read, God says to Job, "Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, answer thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" The chapter continues with question after question from God to Job, intended to point out God's power and wisdom in the creation. "Job, have you done this? Did you do this? Do you do this? Job, what do you know?" The vast glory of the creation teaches us never to accuse God of doing anything unwisely without a proper purpose known to himself. In the text that I would consider with you today, God asks the question, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" The word treasure refers to a storehouse, a chamber or vault, a place where precious and priceless things are kept under lock and key. Job, have you entered into and beheld the marvelous wonders of the snow? All of God's works are marvelous. When you enter into the works of God, you should consider that you have entered into a very beautiful palace, a very beautiful museum, with much that displays the wonder and the awe of God. Every aspect of the creation is, as it were, a treasure, a chamber of wonder and beauty, of awe and glory. And one of those treasures is the snow. Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Let's enter today with the Holy Scriptures as our guide. We who are prone to ask with Job the question, why? Why does the Lord lead me this way? Why does the Lord give my child this disease? Why must I contend with pain? Why am I in a nursing home? In majestic rebuke and in infinite wisdom, God Almighty answers, "Have you entered into the treasures of the snow?" The treasures of the snow declare to us, first of all, that we must be humbled before the absolute sovereignty and power of God. The very first thing that God is saying in the snow is, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. When God sends snow and blizzard, winter storm warnings, schools canceled, traffic crawls, cars slide off the road, sub-zero temperatures, God is saying, "New York, Chicago, Northeast, Midwest, Grand Rapids, bow down. You can't make it snow. You can't stop it. You don't run the skies. You don't direct the wind. You don't position the clouds. Have you entered into the chambers of the snow?" You say, "That's just weather." God says, "Can you do that? Have you entered into the treasures of the snow?" I was thinking of this the other day while shoveling the driveway of the home. And I began to think, how much weight is in a good shovel of snow? Maybe 5 to 10 pounds. And then I looked around at the neighborhood and all the tons of snow. And then I thought of the county. And I thought of millions and trillions of tons of snow. And then I imagined myself saying to an excavator, tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, and you may begin at 1 tonight, 5 hours' time, I would like to have 1 trillion tons of a light powder spread evenly over the whole county and sprinkle some in the evergreens for a beautiful effect and be done by 6 o'clock. Can you do that? No, Lord. We sweat trying to remove it, and we're thankful when you melt it. In Thee we live and move and have our being. Without Thee we can do nothing, Lord. Humble yourself before the mighty God. The treasures of the snow condemn our arrogance. Arrogance is the opposite of humility. Our arrogance shows itself in a striking way, and it has to do with snow, with getting to where we want to go and doing what we want to do. In the words of James chapter 4, it is easy for us to say today or tomorrow we will do this and we will do that. On Monday, this is what we're going to do. And tomorrow, Tuesday, this is what we're going to do. We make our plans of all that's going to happen this week all the way through Friday and Sunday and Saturday and Sunday. And James says, wherein ye ought to say, if the Lord wills. To say the Lord willing is not false piety. It's the way we should think. Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? God directs all things. We boast in our arrogancy of what we're going to do, and God sends snow, or flu, or back pain, and all of these to humble us. God is in charge. If we do anything, it's because God has ordained it and given us strength to do it. The treasures of the snow proclaim God's absolute power over men and nations, and His loving power over us, His church and children. In verse 23, we read, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" There God is referring to the reserves of His forces. The snow is part of God's army. It's part of His reserve force held back to deploy at the strategic and at the right moment. It's very similar to what we read in Job 37, the verses 12 and 13, where we read that the snow may do whatsoever He commands them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for His land, or for mercy. God in His sovereignty calls forth His reserve force. God uses the snow for correction, for a rod, or for a blessing upon and mercy upon His land. There are some things that He wants stopped on the earth. And so from the treasures of the snow, He brings out His reserves against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war. God uses His creation to direct the history of men, and snow is one of His reserves to use as a rod or for purposes of mercy. Napoleon's invasion of Russia was defeated, they said, by General Mud and Snow. No, it was the Almighty God. In 1941, the Nazis were stopped before Moscow. They could see the spires of the city. It was the coldest winter yet known. The awful engines of war, panzer tanks, and elite divisions were reduced to nothing because God sent His swift commandment. Fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling His word. God uses the snow to declare His absolute sovereignty and His rule over nations and men. But He also uses the snow for mercy. God uses the creation and all things in the creation for the good of His people. Snow and ice are His reserves to accomplish His good will for the church. Every particle of the creation abides at His command, and toward His own church, every particle of the creation, even in their fury and devastation, are controlled of Him for our good, for mercy. A weather front moves through, which is being tracked by Storm Team 8. No. God is directing his reserves to accomplish purposes of mercy for his church. Hearken, we read, chapter 37, verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. The chambers of the snow tell us of God's loving power for his children. Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Remember, God is answering Job's question, why have I been so grievously afflicted? And the answer is, Job, you cannot move without me. I control all things. I swear that all in love and wisdom is done for your good. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. But maybe we say, that's no answer. That's the answer? Here's a man crying out for an answer. God, why? Why have you done all this? And the answer is, humble yourself. Yes. That's the answer. The answer is, I am God. God's will is to be trusted. All he does, and he does all things, flows through the cross and in mercy to accomplish the wonder of salvation. Enter into the treasures of the snow. It, that is the snow and the snowflakes and the ice, God causes them all to happen. Bow down, get low, be humble. But not only does God send the snow for us to be humbled before his sovereignty, but he sends them in order that we might be awed by his grace. The flakes of snow echo back God's saving grace. Scientists spend a lot of time putting labels on things, studying and saying, ah, we got it. Now we know. Unbelieving science does so to muffle the voice of God, if they can. Creation and all that happens in the creation is the voice of God. It speaks of God's matchless glory and his majesty. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens are telling the glory of God. Day unto day uttereth forth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And faith hears in the treasures of the snow the message of God's grace. Science tells us that each snowflake is different. Now that's hard to prove because no one has ever seen every snowflake. But I was told that as a boy, and I believe that, for God is great in power and in wonder. Each icicle has its own design. The icebergs, National Geographic has filmed them inside. They are hollow with tunnels and colors, marvels of crystal, crystal cathedrals, floating museums, huge icebergs that God floats in the sea. Now we have learned that as each drop of rain, so each snowflake is formed around a speck of dust. A snowflake, reflecting the sun and glistening, is God's encasement of dust. God glorifies dust. The dust which we sweep up in the house, which we say clogs our nasal passages, which we say, what good is it? Throw it away. It's dirt. Throw it away. God says, I will make snow out of dust, so that praises may echo back to myself. Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? Snow is the picture of God's grace in taking a dust sinner, a filthy sinner, and cleansing from all of our sins through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us so. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Scarlet, crimson red, bold, vivid color, identifying us. We stand out like a red flag in sin. It's very plain and vivid. It's undeniable. There's nothing uncertain about the fact that you are a sinner. You are a blood-guilty sinner. We shall be made white, pure, holy, clean. The blood of Jesus Christ takes those who are plainly and undeniably sinners and cleanses them in God's view from their sins. Again, we read, in Psalm 51, verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." There, David is referring to the wonder of forgiveness. He speaks of the Passover when Moses commanded them to take hyssop, a dried herb, and dip it in blood, and put the blood over their doorposts. "So," says David, "wash me in the blood of my Savior, that I may be clean, as white as snow." God's grace takes us who are sinners, stained in our conscience with sin, sin that cannot be removed, and washes us clean in the blood of His Son. Have you entered the treasures of the snow? A snowflake is God's sign of His grace to take His children, dust sinners, and to make them clean in the blood of His Son. We who are painted red in sin, He cleanses us, and yes, He also purifies us within so that we become holy, Christ-loving, bold and loving people of God. This is what God does. Every snowflake tells you of God's grace to take you, lowly, dirty sinner, and make you clean in His sight through the death of His Son. Are you in awe? If you are not in awe over the snow, you are worse than a beast. God's question to Job, "Have you entered into the treasures of the snow?" is not only intended to humble the man, but to fill the man with awe, to see the majesty and the grace of God in His works. "Job, do you see what I do? Are you filled with awe and overwhelming amazement at the love of God for you, to choose you and to cleanse you from all of your sins? Do you marvel over the hand of God of picking up dust and encasing it in crystals of snow and spreading it as a blanket of white on the earth? Ah, that's nothing. Nothing when you see the love and grace of God taking you, made of dust, filthy and red in guilt, and making you spotless before Him. But finally, God's question of Job is intended not only to humble him, not only to have him stand in awe, but God's question is intended for Job to be silent. Have you entered into the treasures of the snow? In fact, all of God's questions in the 38th chapter were not intended for Job to give an answer. God asked all those questions in the chapter so that Job would be silent. Some questions are not intended to be answered. They are intended to be answered with silence. Silence is the answer. So Job also got the point. We read in chapter 40 of the book of Job, verse 3, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I will lay my hand upon my mouth." Sometimes God does not want us to speak back to Him, but rather to say in our hearts, "My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior He has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved." Sometimes God wants us to worship in silence, because that's the very best cure for a heavy soul. The treasures of snow are intended for deep, silent reflection in your heart before God. God sends a snow day. It is sent for you to stop and to look and to see that He is God. A snow day is sent from God not so that you can watch more TV, get caught up on your book work, and write the thank you notes for the holiday gifts. But when God stops you with the snow and you can't get out of the door in the morning, you can't get to the shop, you can't get to school, you look at each other and you say, "Now what will we do?" God is saying, "I want you to take time to sit down and be silent and worship." We read in chapter 37, verses 6 through 8 of the book of Job, "For He saith to the snow, Be thou on the earth. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into their dens and remain in their secret places." God says, "Job," and you may put your name there, "Job, you have had many questions of me. You are filled with agitations. You are demanding a reason for my ways with you. you and your friends have been trying to figure me out. You are very much troubled that you must bear hardships and problems and pain of the body. Have you considered me, Job? Do you know who I am? Do you see what I do? Do you know my purposes for you? Do you understand what I am aiming at? Have you seen my son dying on a cruel cross in your place, Job? Do you know the depth and the power and the riches of my love in Jesus Christ? Sit still. Enter into the treasures of the snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And then worship. And you have your answer to your question, why, Lord? And with your answer, you have peace. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we ask for its blessing upon our hearts in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.